Well, I think Joe said what I was going to say. I invite your prayers this morning, partly because the message is God's message. Well, not partly, but because it's God's message, but partly because I'm human and sharing God's word, a human sharing God's word, is subject for error sometimes. And so I invite you, your correction. If I say something that is not scriptural, I invite you to correct me on that. Some time ago, there was a suggestion given to share out of the Sermon on the Mount. And so I'd like for you to open your Bibles to Matthew 5 this morning. Matthew 5, and I'll read the first three verses here. Jesus taught a lot of people in this sermon here. In his ministry, Jesus didn't waste words. When he said something, he could say a lot of things in a short time or in a few words. And there is a lot of depth. There's lots of depth to what we have here in this Sermon on the Mount, what we know as a Sermon on the Mount. And we're not going to go real far in this, but the first three verses I'd like to read, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit." That's the title I'd like to give the message today. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And I don't know what you think of when you think of poor in spirit. What I think of when I think of poor in spirit is someone that is at the end of their rope. There's no strength left in themselves. They're powerless. Being poor in spirit involves being emptied of ourself. It involves being emptied of being emptied of ourselves requires giving up our wills, our desires, our dreams, our goals, and sometimes our things. But you know, have any of you ever felt like you're poor in spirit? Who are the poor in spirit? Could it be the mother who gets up at night, night after night? Well, actually, some of these are experiences that I've experienced. Some of these are hypothetical situations, and so if you identify with them, then good, and if not, well, then some of it's just experiences that I've had, but not the mother one. It says, could it be the mother who gets up night after night with a baby that cries and cries and cries and won't go back to sleep for hours? During the day, other children squabble and compete for attention, while her energy declines and responsibilities increase until life seems overwhelming and there's nowhere else to turn but to the Lord and to others for help. I've been there with a baby that cries and cries, and you have to get up and go to work the next day. But it doesn't really compare to a mother who has to get up with a child all the time. That can wear on someone. Could it be, this is one that I've experienced here, it says, could it be the young man who so badly wants to find a companion, but it seems nothing works out? He prays and waits and prays and waits and finally tries, and then when it doesn't work out, feels like life is dealing him more rocks than his friends. Could it be the Lord using the circumstances in his life as a way for him to give up his will and yield himself totally to God. Could it be the father who tries his best to provide for his family, only to suffer setback after setback after setback, financial reverses in the form of accidents, house fires, or non-paying customers who make so he's not able to meet his obligations, medical needs that come up, or simply being at the wrong place at the wrong time? Life becomes more than he can handle himself, and he is driven to find help. All these scenarios have one thing in common, and that is they get to a point where we of ourselves cannot do anything for ourselves. We have to reach out for help. Being poor in spirit are circumstances that create a situation beyond our control that requires others' help. It creates a situation that tears down pride, and if responded to rightly, makes so humility can grow. Everyone who comes to God must be poor in spirit. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In order to have the kingdom of heaven, we need to be poor in spirit. We need to yield ourselves to God's control. And sometimes it takes situations that clean out the pride in our life, that make us broken. Being poor in spirit is no shame. There's nothing wrong with it. In 2 Corinthians 13:4, it talks about the blessing of weakness. It says, "For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you." In Hebrews 11:32-34, "What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah and of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." The blessings of weakness that we see, or that we can experience: one, we realize our insufficiency and need for help. When I say weakness, I'm talking about the situation where we get to where we need others' help. We need God's help. We can't do this of our own. It's something that takes down our pride, and we need to reach out and accept others' help. The blessings of that situation I call weakness here. It says we realize our insufficiency and need for help. Two, it makes us realize our need for others. And three, it causes us to seek God and worship him. Okay, I'd like to turn now to an Old Testament story in 2 Kings 5 that illustrates this scenario here. And you children, who wants to tell me who the man was that took a bath in the Jordan River? Alex? Did he say? Anyone else? Trent? Who? Naaman. Yep, the man named Naaman. So 2 Kings 5, we'll read this whole chapter here. It is, in verse 1 says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria." Excuse me. "Because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive? And this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, would thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. And this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master hath spared Naaman the Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, 1 talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. And Naaman said, Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went nowhither. And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee, and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Okay, so the story starts out with Naaman. Naaman was the hero of Syria. He was the man responsible for giving Syria their independence. He was the man that, because God had allowed it, Naaman was the one that had broken Syria's bonds and made Syria independent again. The king was highly pleased with Naaman. Naaman had anything he could wish for in the country of Syria. If it was available, it was available to Naaman. But Naaman had a terminal illness that got a hold of him, and there was nothing that he could do in Syria. No doctors available for him, and there was no cure for this illness, for leprosy. And same was in Israel and Syria both. There was no cure for leprosy. But Naaman was the hero, and the king and all the people just really wanted Naaman to be better. Of course, Naaman did too. But with this illness, there was no cure. He was just as sick as the beggar that lived in his town. This sickness brought Naaman up short. It was a circumstance that Naaman couldn't overcome. Naaman and his friends were helpless to know what to do. They were desperate. They were desperate for anything they could try. And under this blessing of weakness, Naaman realizes his insufficiency and his need for help. Just because he could have everything else that he wanted, he was still brought up short because he was human. The slave girl that in God's providence was in Naaman's house mentions the prophet back home that could heal leprosy. Naaman heard, or somebody heard this, and Naaman was all ears. What is coming out of this? In Naaman's state, he recognized his need for others. Even though he was the national hero, he still needed help. Naaman's fame came from his conquests against Israel, from his military valor against Israel. But now that his hope of healing was in Israel, Naaman had to swallow his pride and go back to Israel, to the king no less. They were serious about this. It says the king wrote a letter and sent the silver, 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 shekels of gold, 6,000 pieces of gold. And I was assuming the gold pieces were a shekel, and the silver, the talent at that, well, it varies, but it's probably the Egyptian talent at this time frame, which would have weighed about 60 pounds. Each talent would have been about 60 pounds. And the gold pieces, a shekel of gold was about 14 grams per shekel. And there was 6,000 shekels, so it would have been roughly a little over 200 pounds of gold. They had about 600 pounds of silver and 200 pounds of gold. And with today's prices, at least what the cost of silver today is, it would have put the silver roughly about $169,000 worth of silver that he had, and $3.6 million worth of gold. So they were serious about getting Naaman healed. Plus, I don't know what the clothes cost, but there was 10 changes of clothes. They were serious about getting Naaman healed. They sent him to the king. Of course, the king didn't know what to do with him, and Naaman had to humble himself to go to the king, but when he got there, the king didn't know what to do. And Elisha heard about this, and he sent for him and said, "Bring him over here. We'll take care of it for you." And so Naaman ended up at Elisha's door. But Elisha didn't. It took humility to go to Israel to start with. But Naaman's humility wasn't complete, because as he stood before the door there in at Elisha's house, Elisha just sent his servant out. And the servant said, Elisha said, go dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. And Naaman was extremely upset. He had it all figured out how this was going to be, and it didn't include taking a bath in the muddy river. But circumstances, well, fortunately Naaman listened then, and he went and dipped in the river. And when he dipped in that river, when he came out of it the 7th time and saw that the leprosy was gone, Naaman was a believer. Naaman was a committed believer, even though his pride nearly kept him from doing this. His willingness to listen to somebody else's counsel and at least try it while he's here took the rest of Naaman's pride away, and it caused Naaman to be a believer. His attitude changed completely. From being in a great rage, he was ecstatic. Naaman, that brings us to the third point. It caused Naaman to seek God and worship him. He realized that he needed other people's help, because he was in a circumstance that was a humbling circumstance. But then after he had accepted that help and received help, it made Naaman a believer. It turned him into a believer. He went back to talk to Elisha this time and thank him and pay him for his cure. But Elisha said, no, I can't take your money. It was God that did the work. God did that. He turned him back to God. So Naaman went back a believer in the true God of Israel. And I don't know that we hear anything more about Naaman. But God used that to give him a believer in Syria. And it also, I don't think Naaman was going to be able to make many raiding parties back against Israel after that too much. Not after the prophet healed, or not after he found healing there. With Gehazi, though, Gehazi was not, he was not poor in spirit. He was needy, yes, but Gehazi was greedy. Gehazi wanted some of that money that he saw. There was no sense in sending all 600 pounds of this gold and silver back to Syria in Gehazi's mind. He wanted some of it. And so Gehazi reversed the process. He just became greedy for some of Naaman's money, and he just became greedy and made up a story about some need. He made up a needy story. He wasn't needy, but he acted like he was. And so Naaman was absolutely happy to give Gehazi some of this money. Gehazi was only able to enjoy it till he got back to Elisha's place. And then he ended up with the terminal illness, with the leprosy. I'd like to turn now, thinking of being of the humility that being poor in spirit causes us. I'd like to turn to Philippians 2, verse 5. And when we are up against something and we accept help, we receive help and we receive God's work in our life, there's no room for pride to take root after this crisis has passed. No room at all. But I'd like to, in verse 5, it talks about, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I was going to stop at verse 8 actually, but the humility that Christ exemplifies, excuse me, the circumstances Christ went through were only possible by humbling himself and making himself of no reputation. Christ, if Christ would have been proud of his position that he had, of being like God, if he would have been proud of the position that he had in heaven, there would have been no way for him to come down and go and build his kingdom on earth. Pride had no place in Christ's life. But it was only because that he made himself of no reputation. He came down as a servant and made himself subject to the cross. Was he able to fulfill the salvation's plan and make the kingdom available, the kingdom of heaven available to us? And likewise, pride has no place in Christ's kingdom. And that's the poor in spirit. That attitude of being poor in spirit is a place that we should all find ourselves in at times. It's a way that it can cleanse us from this sin of pride. It can cleanse us from unhealthy attitudes and help us realize our need for God and for others. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation." Truly, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's kneel for prayer.